Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
How we doing? Welcome, everybody. Zach Gelb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio. As always, we're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. We need an expert to help navigate the home loan process. Rocket can. 855-212-4CBS. That's CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line on the Zach Gelb Show. And it's sponsored, as always, by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit Geico.com to learn more. Always check out the show and interact with the show via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb, Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B, at CBS Sports Radio. Coming up in 20 minutes, we chat college football playoff rankings. They're supposed to come out any minute now. Give me a little alert when they do come out, Trace. I would imagine, right? Actually, Josh Booty joins at 7:20. I just see Reese Davis on the screen right now. How long are they going to drag out this process? You think we get it right out of the gate? They just showed Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, Notre Dame. They have those four graphics on the screen right now. And then they show you Florida and who's the other team right there? Is that Northwestern? Yeah, and then they have Cincinnati, BYU, Texas A&M, Oregon, and USC on the outside. So does that mean anything right now with what they're showing me, or they're just talking about teams and putting up fancy graphics?
Yeah, I think they're just telling you, you know, basically the teams maybe in the mix. Some, but yeah. My guess, I'm going to guess over under 724, and then obviously have some analysis after that. But I'm going to go, they'll drag them out, and you know what they're going to do. They're going to go 25-1. So we're going to be sitting here, 25, 24, 23. I'm going to say 724.
For a second, they got me a little bit surprised there, because remember I opened up the show saying, oh, like, watch, the college football playoff committee is going to put Clemson over Notre Dame, and just I have a feeling that's going to happen, and it may happen, it may not. It doesn't have a lot of logic because of the fact that Notre Dame already defeated Clemson this year, even though Trevor Lawrence is out because of COVID and they had to play DJ Uiagalelei. But when they come out with that graphic right away at the four teams, I go, all right, maybe ESPN's doing something a little bit different this year. Or they just go, bam, here are the four teams right out of the gate. We're not even going to care about the show. But that wouldn't make sense. That would be as if we opened up the show and we told you, oh, we have this major breaking news. And then we told you right out of the gate when we could have waited and waited and waited if we had inside information and maybe have you stick around a little bit longer. If we only had a 30-minute show and we were all those cheesy TV people in the way that TV people do operate. I will say, though, Northwestern, they are 5-0, and no one talks about them. And Pat Fitzgerald's done a really good job. Remember, the Packers were interested in him when Matt LaFleur ended up getting hired, and he ended up not even taking the interview. They had a really good win last weekend up against Wisconsin, where they beat him by 10 points, 17-7. And they're scheduled the rest of the way. Michigan State, Minnesota, and Illinois. That's a team that should run the table. They definitely should run the table. So here are the things to look at with the College Football Playoff Committee. You know the four teams are going to be Alabama, in no order, Clemson, Notre Dame, and Ohio State. Is Ohio State going to be two, or are they going to be three? And whoever's number one in the ACC, you would assume it's going to be Notre Dame, but maybe they go Clemson. Where are they going to put Clemson, Notre Dame in terms of the ranking, and then will the ACC be in front of the Big Ten, or will they be behind the Big Ten? Those are the things to look at. Can you imagine Northwestern Ohio State. Big Ten championship game. Northwestern beats Ohio State. Because, right, all throughout the year we've been told, you know, the three teams that are definitely going to be in. Alabama, Clemson, and then the Ohio State. Alabama, you're going to assume, and I know they have the Iron Bowl this weekend up against Auburn. I would expect them to win. But Alabama, if they have one loss, maybe it comes in the SEC title game, potentially against Florida. But Alabama's got two more games left. They got Alabama, they got Auburn, and they got Arkansas. So that team is going to win those next two games, you would think. And even if, let's say, they lose one, as long as they still get in that SEC title game, then they'll end up making up the SEC title game. But no one actually thinks Auburn's taking down Alabama or Arkansas's taking down Alabama. So if Bama loses in their SEC title game to, let's say, Florida, they'll still get in the college football playoff, you would think. And then Notre Dame, Clemson, if that's the ACC title game, that would be the real fun, compelling argument. If Notre Dame loses to Clemson in the ACC title game, Notre Dame one loss, Alabama one loss. Both not conference champions. I think the committee would go Alabama. But I'm curious, at the end of the year, when you get to December 19th, December 20th, whenever the final college football playoff committee rankings do come out, is it going to be, is any of the three out of the four teams, and the three teams that we think are automatically going to get in before the season started, Alabama, Clemson, and then also Ohio State, will any get squeezed out of the picture? And I guess the only way Clemson's going to get squeezed out of the picture is if they lose that ACC title game, right? That's something no one's even thinking about. When you say Clemson and Notre Dame, people automatically assume that Clemson's going to win that rematch. If Clemson loses and they got two losses, they're probably out. Because then Notre Dame is definitely in. You're still going to have Alabama in. You assume Ohio State gets in. Can you put in a two-loss Clemson team when both their losses are to Notre Dame? Could you do that? It's, you know, a lot of other things would have to really hit the fan for a two-loss Clemson team to get in. But as a football fan, you want to probably see Alabama, Ohio State, if you take your allegiances away out of it and just look at the three best teams, you want to see Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson in the Final Four. Now, that fourth team, is it going to be Notre Dame? Is it going to be Florida? Is it going to be A&M? Now, could it somehow be Northwestern? Is it going to be Cincinnati? Is it going to be BYU? Probably not, but they just came out with 25 through 21. Tulsa, Iowa, Oklahoma State, Auburn, and Marshall. That's 25 through 21. Look at you, Trace, putting on your big boy pants here, your producing pants, and telling us how this is going to go. So they probably go, what, 25 to 21. Then maybe they give you 20 to what, 16, commercial break, 15 to 10, then 9 to maybe 5, and then another commercial break to then tell you what the Final Four are going to be?
I could be wrong. I don't think they go to commercial. Again, I could be wrong.
They don't.
I think they run it through the entire way.
All right, that's what I hope happens. Coastal Carolina 20, North Carolina 19, USC at 18, Texas 17, Wisconsin in at number 16. So we're inching closer and closer to the top four, and we'll see what it is in the final, in the first rankings for this year in the College Football Playoff Committee. And you know what the four teams are going to be. It's just the question is going to be, what's the order of those four teams when you look at Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State, and then also Notre Dame? UNC, by the way, talking about Notre Dame, they play each other coming up on, is that Saturday or is that Friday? I think it's Friday, right? Yeah, Friday at 3:30 p.m. Eastern. See, that's good. I'm off Friday. I will tap into Mac Brown's squad going up against Brian Kelly's squad in Notre Dame and UNC. So you got the, and here comes 15 through 11. Oregon, 15. BYU, ho-ho! BYU at 14. That's the playoff committee saying you basically have played no one. 13, Iowa State. 12, Indiana. 11, Oklahoma, 6-2. So Oregon's 3-0 at 15. BYU 9-0 at 14. Iowa State, 6-2 at 13. Indiana, 4-1. at number 12, and then Oklahoma 6-2. Are you surprised that BYU, not that I thought BYU should be a top four team, you probably would have thought they would at least be in the top 10, right? Or at a bare minimum top 12, but I probably would have thought top 10.
I'm with you. I thought top 10. Their schedule's not their fault, and they've been crushing everyone. Yeah, I'm with you. I thought top 10.
That's the committee basically saying you better go schedule someone else. And that's kind of what their athletic department was thinking, or so that's how they presented it with the Washington. They want to see what the college football playoff rankings are going to be. So here's the top 10. Now they start to have the dramatic pauses. They put Miami on the screen. Miami is 7-1. And now we're going to wait. Georgia in at number 9. They're 5-2. So we still got to see where Cincinnati is. We know where BYU is. BYU is 14, correct? If memory serves me right, 14. I'm curious where Cincinnati is. You got to think Cincinnati's going to be 8 or 7. Could they maybe get to 6?
I'm going to say 6.
Okay.
Maybe optimistic considering where BYU is, but I'm going to say 6.
Yeah. I'll be curious to see what does transpire. So 8, 7, or 6, somewhere in that range for Cincinnati. All right. Do we need to have this delay here? Do they know that Zach Gelb's hosting a radio program? And now, oh, the only people listening to the audience are now, all they care about is this top 5 rankings. Yeah, we'll get into the disaster of the Bucks. We'll continue to praise the Rams later on the show. Josh Booty's going to join us coming up in about 10 minutes. And then Isaac Bruce, Pro Football Hall of Famer, will stop by at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. Northwestern. 5-0, Pat Fitzgerald squad in at number 8. Ooh, they are really milking this. Now, I'm actually impressed they have not gone to commercial break yet. Because, you know, that stupid draft lottery that ESPN does? They interview everyone. They interview the star draft pick, that is projected number 1 picks, mothers, cousins, stepsons, plumbers, accountants, sister. And that's what they end up interviewing there, and they take 9,000 commercial breaks. 7 Cincinnati. There you go. So, I told you, Cincinnati's going to be, what, 8 or 7? Trace goes, no, they're going to be 6. Well, Cincinnati's in at number 7. I like Luke Fickle. If I'm Michigan, if I'm moving on from Harbaugh, unless if you're getting a bigger name, whether it's the former Washington coach, or if you want to get Stoops out of retirement, I don't even know if he'd take that job. Luke Fickle would be my choice. And does Luke Fickle even want the Michigan job, being an Ohio State guy? If I'm Luke Fickle, I'd take that job in a second. And there is no doubt about that. So Miami 10, Georgia 9, Northwestern 8, and then Cincinnati 7. And now here they go. Now they have their reaction, team 7 through 25. See, that's obnoxious. They teased us there. They went from 25 to 7 as if they're just going to give us the teams bang, 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 bang. And then the next thing you know, oh, now we're going to have Kirk Herbstreit, who we love. And you probably have, what, David Pollack there too. And I would imagine Desmond Howard is probably the crew. And now they're going to talk about this. So coming up next is what they say. The top 6 teams are going to be revealed. So you'll have the top 6 teams. So let's go 1 through 4. You give me, Trace, what you think your 1 through 4 are going to be.
I honestly feel less confident.
Trace
seeing
is going to say Penn State in the top 4, Notre Dame 2.
I am going to go.
Joke of a team Penn State is. 0 wins this year. You should be embarrassed as an alum.
I am.
You should
I
ask
am.
For money back.
Apathetic. Apathy is setting in. Quickly.
Now hold on. Give me your top 4 because now they're starting to.
Alabama, Notre together. Dame, Clemson, Ohio State.
Alabama, say it again.
Alabama, Notre Dame, Clemson, Ohio State.
Okay, I think they are going to do Alabama, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Clemson, what I want them to do, which I think would be really fun. They go Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, Notre Dame. Florida 6, so they didn't go to a break. That was a quick breakdown. You know what? I was a little critical of ESPN. Now I enjoy how they did that. A little quick breakdown, all right? 7 through 25 analysis, then we'll get to the top 6 teams. Then no one really cared about 7 through 25 other than the BYU-Cincinnati reaction. Then you got to get to the top 6. So Florida in at number 6, 6-1. Texas A&M in at number 5 at 5-1. And now here comes the toughest part. We wait. 4-3-2-1. Come on, guys. Let's pick it up here a little bit. Waiting, waiting on a sunny day. Come on. Guys, that's not surprising. See, that's... they go Alabama one. They're going 6-5, and then they put Alabama up, so your brain logically works. All right, you're going to go 6-5-4. They show Alabama up. You get the ooh, and then it's one. So Alabama one, Notre Dame in at number two. Nice job, Trace. Nice job. All right, they're not just trying to spark things up for conversation. Now, here's the fun. Is it Clemson or is it Ohio State? Clemson 3, Ohio State in at number 4. That's what you said, correct, Amundo? I'm pretty sure that's what you said.
I'm not going to brag, but that's what I said.
All right, so you got Cincinnati wrong, but you're 1, 2, 3, and 4, and right now it would be Alabama, Ohio State, and then Notre Dame, Clemson. Now, the last time, if memory is correct, which usually it's not, the last time Alabama, maybe the only time Alabama played Ohio State in the college football playoff was that semifinal on New Year's Day where Ohio State beat up on Alabama before Ohio State defeated Oregon. I think it was the national championship game. That was Helfrich, right?
Yes, that was Mark Helfrich.
So Helfrich was the coach. So there you go. So it's Alabama, Ohio State, Notre Dame, Clemson. So here's what the committee's basically telling you. Alabama's the best team in the country. Notre Dame, we have to put them two because they defeated Clemson. And we're going to put Clemson in front of Ohio State because even though Clemson lost to Notre Dame, they played more games than Ohio State, and Ohio State's 4-0. Now, by the end of the year, we'll see if that will still be the top four. Just probably would be a different order. But the feel right now is your four teams at the end of the season are in some order going to be Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, and Notre Dame. The question is, can a team like Florida mess up this party? Is there any way that Cincinnati can get in? A&M being in at number 5. And you got to see how that's going to play on out. But the big, big thing, Notre Dame, Clemson, a rematch in the ACC championship game, how that goes down. And then what happens if Ohio State suffers a loss along the way? And maybe Alabama in the SEC title game if they go up against Florida. All right. We'll break it all down next. College football. We talk to Josh Booty, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
He's back. Here's Zach Gelb.
All right. College football playoff rankings. First rankings of the year came out. Alabama 1, Notre Dame 2, Clemson 3, Ohio State 4. To wrap out the top 6, A&M in at number 5, Florida in at number 6, and then some other things of note. Cincy at 7, Northwestern at 8, and then where is BYU? They're down at number 14. So some things to look at. In the top 25 of the first college football playoff rankings of the year. Right now, we welcome in a man that played both football and baseball. Friend of the show, former LSU quarterback, former NFL quarterback, Josh Booty here with us. Josh, what's going on, my friend?
Oh, man, everything's going good. I'm glad we could do the show together tonight, and I hope you're doing well, my brother.
1,000%. Last time you were on with us, you were here in studio. Now I think if I brought you in studio, I'd get fired, honestly.
A different world this year, man.
1,000%, no doubt about it. All right, so top 4, Bama 1, Notre Dame 2, Clemson 3, Ohio State 4. Anything surprising by what the committee did if the college football playoffs were to start tomorrow?
Not at all at the top. I mean, Bama's been tremendous all year. I think this is as good an offense as we've seen them have. I mean, what they're averaging every game, per game, is from a scoring point standpoint. And what Devontae Smith has done is just amazing. Najee Harris, of course, was the player of the year coming out of high school 3 or 4 years ago. And now he's making his mark and looks like an NFL guy back there at tailback. And last year, you know, he had a huge game against Auburn. I know they play the Iron Bowl this week. He's going to have another big game this week, and they're going to run away with this game. I just think they got way too many weapons, way too much offense. And Mac Jones is, completing 77% of his passes. And those aren't little dink and dunk throws. They're throwing it all over the yard. They throw the deep dig routes, the post routes, the go routes, the comebacks. They're doing everything right. I just like the way Sarkisian, the offensive coordinator there, is calling plays, and man, they haven't missed a beat, and it's fun to watch. I mean, they're number one for a reason. Last week they beat Kentucky 63-3, so it's pretty unbelievable what they're doing this year inside the conference, with every game being SEC games this year inside the conference now, all 10 of them.
Going into the year, Josh Booty, everyone told us Alabama, Clemson, and Ohio State, those will definitely be three teams that get into the college football playoff. Do you still feel as if those three teams will get in, or is maybe one in danger of being on the outside looking in coming up in a few months?
No, I think they will. I think Clemson will get another crack at Notre Dame, and with Trevor Lawrence, they should win the game. I mean, anything can happen, and we know that, especially with this COVID stuff and players skipping games and having to miss games. I mean, we saw it with Trevor Lawrence, I think the greatest player in college football right now, having to sit out of that big Notre Dame game in South Bend several weeks ago, and it really hurt them. I mean, Notre Dame played a good game, that there's no doubt about it. I don't want to take anything away from them. They're 8-0. They're playing good football, but Trevor Lawrence is a difference maker, and he's going to be the first pick overall. So you take that guy out of the equation, you know, and that was really the reason that they probably lost that ball game. And even though it was a very, very close tight ball game, I think Clemson is the better team, and that's why they, you know, they're at three, right there behind Notre Dame, and for good reason, because they're probably going to knock Notre Dame off, and I'm not a homer, but I'm not a Clemson homer either. I'm just thinking Clemson's a better team with Trevor Lawrence, and I think everybody in the country would agree with me on that. I think Ohio State at four, because they haven't played as many games, four games so far, and Fields last week looked a little bit like, you know, a mortal player, kind of like Brady did last night, you know, in the primetime Monday night game. It's like, you know, you see these guys have so much success and never turn the ball over and always make the right play. And then when they do turn it over, it's like, wow, these guys are normal, you know? So I think Fields is an unbelievable player. He's going to go top two or three in the draft. There's no doubt if Lawrence wasn't there, he'd go probably number one overall, but you know, you're still a college kid. He's got to make good decisions with the football, and they're going to, you know, Ohio State's going to be right there at the end of this thing, because they ought to win every game that they play. They're going to be double-digit favorites probably in every game they play, and Phil just needs to tighten it up a little bit and play like he's played his whole career there at Ohio State, and they're going to be just fine.
You like A&M or Florida better as a football team?
I like Florida right now. I think A&M has got great balance with Spiller at tailback and Kellen Mond, four-year starter. I mean, he's breaking a lot of the school records down there, and they beat Florida. But I think Trask and what they're able to do on offense gives them a legitimate chance to play with the Alabamas or the Clemsons or the Ohio State, because the Ohio State's the world, because those teams put up big numbers, and Florida can put up big numbers offensively in terms of scoring points. So I like what Florida can do on offense. Their defense is a little suspect. A&M's defense is a little better. A&M beat them head-to-head. So, yeah, you know, you got to say A&M's a better ball club, but I think Florida is right now better in the last three or four weeks just from what I've seen. But Texas A&M is balanced, and Jimbo's been there, done that, man. He's won a national championship. He's a big-time coach, and he's getting paid a lot of money to be big-time. So I think A&M's right there. You know, they ought to be right there in the mix, like you're saying.
But you look at A&M, it's just with Alabama in their division, Alabama's going to win their next two games, and Alabama's going to get to the SEC title game. So unless if it gets really chaotic, and maybe there's an argument for A&M if their one loss is to Alabama for them to get into the top four. But I don't think A&M's going to get in. The thing I'm curious about, if let's just say Florida and Alabama meets up in the SEC title game, Josh Booty, and Florida stuns Alabama, and Notre Dame, let's say, loses to Clemson in that rematch, you think the committee goes with Alabama, or do you think they go with Notre Dame? I personally think they would go Alabama, but who knows?
I do. I think they'd go Alabama if they're healthy. You know, you got to look at the roster at the end of the season, too, and see who you think is the better team. And people vote on that, you know, with that in regard. So, I like if Florida was to beat Alabama, you're knocking off the number one team in the country. Florida goes with one loss, even though they lost to A&M, and they're still in the mix, just because that win is just would be such a monumental win for their program. And I think everybody would say, hey, Florida can score points, because they're going to have to do that against Alabama. That could be a game like we saw Alabama play against Ole Miss three or four weeks ago, where it was, you know, in the 40s and 50s, and it got up there, and the total got way up there. So I think, you know, that's what's going to have to happen for Florida to get back in this thing, is they got to go and beat Bama in the SEC championship game, and then a lot of this stuff would you know, kind of pan out accordingly.
When you look at this right now, who's the team that has the best shot to take down Bama? Is it Clemson, or you go someone else?
I think Clemson can. I do think Ohio State, if they play mistake-free, can do it. I really do. I think this Fields is so legitimate with his legs and making plays outside the pocket. And if he's on fire, they got great receivers. They know how to win. That culture at Ohio State is, is much like Alabama. They just win, baby. You know, and so I like those three teams. We talk about them. You know, we've talked about them all year. We talked about them all last year, the year before. It's always those three teams, but it's the culture that they've created with those head coaches. And I love Ryan Day. I think Ohio State can beat, an Alabama or a Clemson if those two teams happen to have a little bit of an off day and maybe turn the ball over if Ohio State doesn't turn the ball over.
It's a shame, obviously, with the pandemic, but pre-pandemic, BYU had an absolutely loaded schedule this year. Now, people are saying, who is BYU actually playing? The committee, they sent a message to them tonight, put them in at number 14, even though they're 9-0, and Kalani Sitake and Zach Wilson are a good story, but mm-hmm. they're pretty much telling them, hey, go schedule someone because you haven't really proved much yet, right?
Yeah, I think that's kind of where they're at, and that's why they're down there at that spot. I mean, Zach Wilson is a potential first rounder too. I mean, we've got a great year for the quarterback in college football, and Zach Wilson's a guy that every week he plays, he plays mistake free. He can throw. He's tough. He can run. I mean, I like him as a prospect. You know, so I'm saying that yeah, they should probably be ranked higher and the way that I view it, but you know, their schedule is a little soft compared to some of these other schedules. I mean, we talk about the SEC down here in SEC country, and we're playing 10 SEC games, and I know a few of them might get canceled, but they're going all out. They're playing all conference games, and I know BYU, you know, they can't do anything about that because the SEC is the SEC, and they make decisions based on their conference, but BYU just doesn't play that type of schedule. I mean, look at what LSU, the defending national champions last year. We have to play Florida A&M. We got to play Auburn. We got to play Bama. I mean, BYU doesn't even play one game of that magnitude. So just, you know, it's a different world when you're talking about having to play a tough schedule versus a schedule that you should win most every game that you play, and you don't really play one of the big boys. It's very hard to try to vault those guys up there with the Alabamas and the Notre Dames and Ohio State and Clemson, Texas A&M, Florida, all that bunch.
Josh Booty here with us. Now, Cincinnati's in at number 7. They're 8-0. Do they have a legitimate shot to make the college football playoff, or even if they win their conference and run the table, the committee will still put a one-loss team in over an American Athletic Conference team?
They might have a tough time. I like the team. I like their QB. I like their coaching staff. I like what they do on offense. They spread it around. I mean, they score points. They play good defense. I mean, you know, they those kids that come from that region, too, are tough football-minded kids, and I like what they put together there. I just don't know. There's going to have to be some real stuff happen to the A&Ms or to the Floridas or to a Notre Dame or maybe an upset loss, you know, Ohio State. Getting a loss on their record that they didn't really think that was coming or something like that for Cincinnati to get a chance. I just think all the big boys are all at the top right here, and I don't see many of them losing ball games, the rest of the way.
Is Kyle Trask to you a first-round quarterback?
I like him. He's kind of played himself into it. I mean, I saw him last year live. The Gators played at LSU. I was at that game on the sideline. He was driving them down. They were down 7. Nobody played LSU close last year. Bama did at their place. But at Tiger Stadium, Trask led them down the field, down 7, threw a pick to Stingley. Stingley made an unbelievable play, the All-American corner at LSU last year, to prohibit Florida from tying up the game in the fourth quarter. And so he had us on our heels last year. And I think they're a better offensive team with more weapons, and that tight end Pitts is unbelievable. Tony, the receiver. God, I mean, they got great talent. Mullen's never had this much talent to coach on offense at any given time, even with his Dak Prescott days at Mississippi State when they were ranked number one a few years back. But I just think that, you know, I just like what I'm seeing from Trask because he's a money player. He puts the ball where, you know, only his receivers can make plays. Even the 50-50 balls, you can see where they're thrown on the field when they've got defenders. You know, whether they're pinned on their hip and he throws it away from the defender back shoulder, or, you know, he throws it up the field because maybe they're leading by a foot or two, you know, going upfield, or he'll throw it behind. I just like what he throws away from defenders. And that's what we saw Burrow do last year, and it paid dividends. And Trask is doing a lot of the same things, not making any mistakes, 3 turnovers so far. And Florida's playing great on offense. They just need some defensive help.
I know they lost Waddle, but is Mac Jones a product of what's around him, or do you think he's actually a legit next-level quarterback?
I think he's going to get a real chance because, you know, you play at Bama and the experience that you gain from not only playing your schedule, but playing against the best defense in the country, or perhaps the best defense in the country every year, I mean, every day in practice, every year that you're at school. I mean, think about what Saban tries to do to really go against Mac Jones every day in practice. I played on a Saban team at LSU, and Saban's defenses were sophisticated, and I had to get better as a quarterback because I had to recognize so many things. So I think at the next level, he'll be much more ready to play in the NFL than some kids that didn't have to go through that many practice sessions and experiences that he is having to deal with. I think his hardest days probably aren't Saturdays. They're, you know, Monday through Fridays in those practice sessions going against that defense at Alabama. I think that you can't put a price tag on that.
I get the college coaches are robots and they're in their own little bubble. And maybe, you know, Dabo Swinney is right that the game shouldn't have got canceled up against Florida State. Maybe he's wrong. Mm-hmm. How he's still talking about this, and it's already Tuesday, it's a bad look. No matter what his personal feelings are, don't you kind of feel like he should kind of zip it on this one?
Yeah, it's time to go to the next week. I mean, you know, Belichick would say one or two things, and he means what he says, and we've always looked kind of Belichick. I know you're a huge Pats fan, and then he moves on. It doesn't matter if you win or lose, you got to move on. That's football. It's the next week, and I just think he felt like, you know, they traveled, they spent whatever he said, $300,000 to go and travel to play this game, and then they cancel it right before the game starts, pretty much. I mean, when you're already at on location and you have to turn around and fly back, as a head coach, you're getting geared up, man. You put a lot of time and effort into it, so I could see some of the anger and upsetment. But Dabo's such a good quality guy. He just needs to go the next week, and if they reschedule it, I'd make them, Florida State, come to me, because I wouldn't want to have to go through having to, you know, to go on the road and have to come out of pocket again as a university to go play that game, because FSU was going to get routed. You know, it's a 35-point line, I think, 35.5-point line. So, you know, Clemson's a much better football team.
Does LSU have any shot against A&M this weekend?
I don't think so. I think we're too young. Our quarterback's a freshman. He played well last week. But yeah, I just don't think we have enough firepower. Unless we get super hot, our wide receivers make some guys miss in the open field after catching some balls or whatever, and some big play stuff happens because we've got that capability. I just think we, you know, on defense too, we're giving up a lot. We got a little better last week. A&M is prepared, I think, to win this ball game, and they're a very good, well coached team and balanced team, like I mentioned earlier. And I think Mond has got the experience. He's not going to turn the ball over a lot, so he's playing pretty mistake free, and he's giving them a chance every week to put up some good numbers. I like A&M in this matchup, no question.
Josh Booty, are you nervous about Brady with the Bucks? Because last night, that offense and Brady, he did not look good. And you know me, I love Brady, and I usually give him a pass, but last night he was bad.
Yeah, it didn't look good. He looked his age on more passes than we've ever seen him look. Like, we've seen him have possessions where he's looked his age the last few years, and they didn't have a lot of firepower and weapons last year in New England, but he didn't look like he short arm throws and stuff like he did. He did a few of them, but last night there was 9 or 10 throws where we saw him short arm throws and not really, you know, he threw the two bad picks and he kind of was just hoping that it went well, and that's just not Brady football. So it's weird to see. I think the offensive line, there's some struggles there. There's some injuries there. They don't run the football. That's why balance is super important. That's why in New England he had such a wonderful, you know, weekly type of career, you know, week in, week out, because they ran the ball well. They ran the screens and the gadgets. Josh McDaniels did a good job calling plays. I just think they got all these weapons out wide. They're trying to get these guys the football, but they're going to have to establish some kind of running game. And then on the defensive side of the ball, the Bucs have got to stop the pass, man. They're giving up way too much. Goff had 39 completions last night. That can't happen and be a Super Bowl contending team. So they're going to have to really figure it out on defense, you know, pass defense, because they're great in the run game on defense. But Brady, you know, a lot of quarterback play has to do with how your defense is playing, where you get the ball back, what your opportunities are, what the score of the game is. He's got to buckle down and make some real good throws in crunch time, and then he'll be okay. But it didn't look good last night.
Yeah, he can't throw the ball 15 yards over his receiver's head with the game on the line. But hey, every quarterback has been there, done that. Josh Booty, always appreciate the time. Thanks so much, my friend.
Thanks for having me, my brother.
He's back. Here's Zach Gelb.
I'll tell you, you know, we talked earlier about James Franklin tweeting out the opponent's name over and over and over again whenever he does it on Sunday night, Monday night. So this week, Michigan, Michigan, Michigan. You would think when your team has zero wins this year, when they're a winless football team, the comments would be ruthless. I just went through the first 20 that I saw. Not as bad as what I thought. A lot of them are like, coach, we still believe in you. Get the job done this weekend. Go beat Michigan. Now, the two funniest one was buyout 1,000 times. I thought that was pretty creative. And then, where was the other one here? There was one other good one, which for some reason, now it refreshes and I can't find it because there's about 3,000 of them. But they're really not that bad. Oh, here's the one. Well, James Franklin's good at picking who's going to win the games this year.
That's pretty good.
That was the best one. He has a winless record this year, but then he's undefeated picking who's going to beat his team this year.
5 for 5. He's crushing it.
You got to love that. That was a good one. All right, let me get to Dabo Swinney. Dabo Swinney, top two coach in college football. Nick Saban, I would still say, is one. Dabo Swinney's number two. Dabo Swinney, though, he does have a good number up against Alabama. Has beat him twice in a national championship game. So, Dabo Swinney is well-respected, but you could be a great coach, well-respected, and still sound like an idiot. And the last few days, Dabo Swinney has sounded like an idiot. Now, don't get me wrong. I understand his frustration. The team travels to Tallahassee. Clemson has, a backup offensive lineman test positive for the coronavirus. Now, here's the thing I don't get, and I guess it's the same thing from what I was reading with Trevor Lawrence. The player had mild symptoms. Now, he was tested negative, but he had mild symptoms, but he was still practicing. Now, I don't know what the protocols are and all that, but one would assume that if you have mild symptoms where everyone is under this belief of abundance of caution, you keep on hearing that, wouldn't you keep the player out of the practice and withhold the player from the practice? Now, from what I read, the ACC players get tested 3 times a week. So this backup offensive lineman tests positive, and Florida State says, we don't feel comfortable with playing, we're not going to play. Now, I understand Dabo Swinney being frustrated because you're already there. And how many times have we seen in college football or even the NFL, one player doesn't shut down the sport and one player doesn't prevent the game from happening? But I could understand in this time why Florida State says, we don't feel comfortable playing when you travel that player over on a plane and now he has COVID-19. So Dabo Swinney is annoyed. He's allowed his 24 hours to bitch and complain. But when you are the CEO of that football program, you got to be careful with the words that you say. Here's Dabo Swinney sounding off about how FSU used COVID as an excuse to cancel the game. This from Sunday.
This game was not canceled because of COVID. COVID was just an excuse to cancel the game. And to be honest with you, I don't think it has anything to do with their players. I have no doubt that their players wanted to play and would have played. And same with the coaches. To me, the Florida State administration forfeited the game. And if they want to play Clemson, in my opinion, they need to come to Clemson or they need to pay for all expenses. Other than that, there's no reason for us to play them. We were there, we were ready, and we met the standards. So from my perspective, that's in the rearview mirror.
Now here's Mike Norvell, the head coach of Florida State, responding to Dabo Swinney.
We are a young team that needs every rep that we can get. This is a program that we are continuing to build upon the base foundation of not only who we are but where we're going. And so I'm not concerned about what any other coach says or thinks.
I think it's kind of ridiculous that Dabo Swinney said the administration was afraid to play Clemson. Play Clemson. I think it was the Florida State administration was afraid to play Clemson. I think it's wrong. I just don't agree with it. But that's what Dabo believes in his mind is what occurred. So Dabo Swinney, you would think after Sunday and then you get the Norvell response, this would be over, right? You move on. you go deal with something else. Nope, not the case. Dabo Swinney, he does a weekly radio show. And I think this audio was from his weekly radio show. It was from a press conference. I know he also did a weekly radio show where he responded too. But here's Dabo from today in a press conference taking a jab at Florida State.
I'm not really worried much about what they say down there in Tallahassee. That's for sure. You know, I've been in this league 18 years. I've been the head coach here 12. All right. You know, they've had three head coaches in 4 years. So decisions that they make, you know, I'm not going to worry about advice from Tallahassee.
Dabo Swinney is a great coach, but he's tone deaf in this situation. And he makes zero sense. So at first, it's Florida State and their administration ducking Clemson. That's what it is. Then it's, oh, well, their program has no credibility. Why should I care what they say when they respond? They've had three head coaches in 4 years. I understand you being frustrated because your program traveled to Tallahassee to play football. And you were already there, and then the game got canceled. But just stop it. You don't need this clown show and you saying all these things that none of them, quite frankly, make any sense over and over again several days after the postponement of the game. Let it go. Push your frustration aside. You look at what's going on in the world. I know college football coaches are isolated in their own little bubble and they're robots and they don't think about the outside world. But does anyone want to hear what Dabo Swinney has to say about this feud from a few days ago? No, stop it. Get a little grip and an understanding of the situation. Jeez, this guy makes no sense right now. Tremendous football coach, but he's lost here. You could have your personal beliefs. You could have your 12, 24 hours of frustration, but after that, let it go. You're trying to pick a fight with Florida State. It makes no sense here. It makes no sense. So I don't believe that Florida State was ducking Clemson, number one. And number two, you're going to poke fun at their coaching problems? Like, what are you trying to accomplish there? Dabo, please, wake up. Because you're losing me here. I don't even get what you're trying to accomplish other than to just look like a fool here.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.